Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 158. I'm Rob Wright, security news director at TechTarget, and I am here with security news writer Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome back.
Thanks, Rob. Always a pleasure.
So the big news this week, Alex, was the latest in the ongoing story of Vault 7. And Vault 7, as you know, Alex, was this cache of documents and files from the CIA about the hacking tools and quote-unquote cyber weapons that the CIA, specifically the CIA's Center for Cyber Intelligence, the CCI, used to conduct operations, hacking operations, offensive hacking, surveillance, cyber espionage, et cetera, et cetera. These hacking tools were various exploits and previously undisclosed zero-day vulnerabilities for Windows, Linux, Android, Apple iOS, Mac OS, you name it. They had some type of hacking tool or some type of vulnerability to infiltrate these environments or remote code execution for various applications or operating systems, serious stuff. So this week, a report was made public, and it was from the WikiLeaks Task Force, the CIA's own, and this is very important, the CIA's own task force on the WikiLeaks leak of Vault 7, because they published this WikiLeaks in March of 2017. They dropped a bombshell and said, we have a cache of these cyber weapons and hacking tools from the CIA. They were given to us. We're publishing them now. 8,761 documents from an isolated high security network within Langley, Virginia, that was exfiltrated and given to us, and here it is, check it out. So they commissioned a report, and the report was finalized. Alex, I don't know if you knew this at first glance, and I didn't see this reported much. So the report was just made public this week on Monday, I believe, right?
Yep. It was this week.
Yes, and the report was dated. It was given to the CIA. It was completed. It's dated October 17th, 2017. So this was made just a few months after the March publication by WikiLeaks. And it hasn't seen the light of day until this week, which is interesting. And this task force report, well, it had a lot of things to say about the CIA and what happened with the Vault 7 leak. You wrote the story. I'll allow you to summarize your story about the nature of this report.
But Rob, you're doing such a good job.
I love this story, by the way. This and the NSA leak of the of their own sort of cyber weapons cache, with the shadow brokers, which, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about another time. That's another ongoing story and controversy within the government. I love these stories, and I just love discussing. But anyway, yeah. I'll let you summarize.
Okay, so I think two quotes, the first two quotes from the report that we feature in the article really tell a story of, I don't want to be too mean here, but the word I'm thinking of is incompetence.
Yes. I think that's fair.
Okay. So there's like, how bad could you be at your job? But here are two quotes. The first is, because the stolen data resided on a mission system that lacked user activity monitoring and robust server audit capability, we did not realize the loss had occurred, as in the theft had occurred, until a year later when WikiLeaks publicly announced it in March 2017. So that's the first one I want to touch on, Rob.
Yes.
Which is, that's basically saying, well, it's not basically, it's explicitly saying that they didn't know that these hacking tools had been stolen until WikiLeaks published the cache to the public a year after its theft.
Yep.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it was stolen in 2016, about a year earlier. Yep. Yeah.
Had the data been stolen for the benefit of a state adversary and not published, we might still be unaware of the loss, as would be true for the vast majority of data on agency mission systems.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first of two quotes I want to touch on. This is the cyber part of the CIA too, right?
Yes, yes. Yes.
I'm trying to think of what like a good equivalent would be for us. But I can't, it's so bad that I can't even imagine us being as bad at our jobs as the CIA is bad at its job right now.
Yes. So I don't know. So had you heard anything about Vault 7 or the CIA being breached and these, you know, hacking tools or malware, zero days or anything like this sort of being published by WikiLeaks and landing in the hands of, you know, various, you know, threat actors? Because anybody could download this stuff once it was published and could use these exploits and sort of, you know, leverage the information in these in these documents for nefarious purposes. I mean, this is kind of what happened with the NSA tools, mm-hmm. that were put online by the shadow brokers. They used a Windows SMB v1 a vulnerability that had been previously undisclosed. They used that in the WannaCry ransomware attack from a few years ago, and that was as a devastating a ransomware attack. It hit a number of organizations. It was bad. So like publishing this stuff has real tangible negative implications, not just for the CIA, but for, you know, InfoSec in general. It's good in a way because you find out about all these vulnerabilities that the government had been hoarding and the vendor can patch them and, you know, companies can take action. But it's also bad because threat actors can just pick them up and use them and just start using the CIA's high-level hacking tools for cybercrime or cyber espionage. But I'm curious, had you heard about Vault 7 before I was like, Alex, bombshell, get on this report about Vault 7. I'll fill in the details later. Had you heard anything about it before then?
Not until I was on this beat. Like this was new to me.
Yeah. So this is interesting to me. Like I know this got a lot, just like the Shadow Brokers dump got a lot of press. It was covered in mainstream press. It was covered in tech press. It was covered in InfoSec press. It got a lot of daylight, but for some reason, I don't think it's translated to the general public as much. Not entirely sure why. But yeah, this was a major black eye for the CIA. But I'm curious. So when you started reading this report and you read passages like the one that you just read, and there's another one in there when they talk about, and I think you had this in your story, they were sharing admin level passwords. They weren't doing any type of monitoring. Like you said, the data wasn't compartmented or segmented. They were making a lot of mistakes. Did that surprise you? I mean, because it surprised me. I mean, I knew there were going to be mistakes that they would have had to have made for this stuff to get out, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Yeah. So that was the second quote I had, which you just touched on. Most of our sensitive cyber weapons were not compartmented. Users shared systems administrator level passwords, and there were no effective removal media controls, and historical data was available to users indefinitely. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I like to be, a forgiving person in the sense that I like to say, hey, people make mistakes. No one's perfect. But this was so bad that even in the scope of, like, what I've learned about cybersecurity since I've been on this beat for however long, 8 months or so by now, this has been the most surprising story to me that I've ever covered. I can't believe that the cybersecurity part of the CIA would be this ill-equipped to handle its own data. Not only its own data, but its own weapons.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's stunning. Stunning.
Yeah, I think that we, in the general public, not, you know, you become disillusioned about this once you start getting into the InfoSec beat and seeing how the government's not really any different than your average enterprise. They make a lot of mistakes. They're not doing basic things. And I think we have this sort of mentality that the CIA, of all places, is like, you know, like the CIA in Mission Impossible. You know, I love talking Mission Impossible, talking Tom Cruise movies. But you know, the original Mission Impossible, where they have to, like, find this elaborate way into Langley's data center, and they, you know, they're repelling Tom Cruise down like an air shaft, but he can't touch the floor, and so he's hanging above the computer, and they've got to steal somebody's login, and they've got to do all these things, and this is not that. This was like a guy who worked, and we should say that the suspect in this case, Joshua Schulte, he was tried for this. It was if memory is serving, it was a mistrial. It was a sort of a split decision. They couldn't come to a consensus on the first trial, and then they're going to try him again. But he was arrested and charged with stealing this info and giving it to WikiLeaks. This is so bizarre. Like, you know, they're talking about, like, sharing these passwords and not doing any type of monitoring. So they clearly weren't doing any type of, like, insider threat sort of monitoring, behavior monitoring. Not just that, but, like, it's just on, like, the staging server and their development environment, and it's just sitting there, and they don't know that somebody's plugged something in, like a USB, like a removable media device, into these servers and removed this stuff. I mean, that is so far removed from, I think, our sort of our picture in popular culture, and not even popular culture, but just sort of our impression of what, you know, defense and military security must be like. You know, this ain't NORAD. This isn't like War Games, where you got to go through 10 feet of steel and concrete and, you know, retina scans and all this stuff, like to get into Crystal Palace or whatever from War Games. Like, this is like, this guy was just like, yeah, I think I'll just, you know, allegedly plug in some removable media and just download all this data. And no one, that's the thing that stood out to me, like you said, like you let off with, that they didn't know or didn't suspect that this had taken place until 2017, when WikiLeaks dropped this. It's just stunning. Like, they didn't, and that is so damaging for any type of breach, whether it's at the CIA or an enterprise, to not know or not have any inclination that you were breached, either through an insider threat or an external actor, to be able to have to go back and piece everything together and look at logs from a year ago. Nobody keeps logs from a year ago. To have to piece that together and investigate that. And obviously they did a good enough job that they were able to narrow this down and find who they believe to be the suspect. But that was stunning to me.
So there's also the this brings back memories of the fact that for 20 years the nuclear launch code, and I think it was the U.S. Minuteman silos, was 8 zeros.
Yeah. Oh man, it's depressing.
Yeah.
So basically, I think the moral of the story is that despite what the CIA was doing, like, these are their elite, you know, security engineers, security researchers, white hat hackers, offensive hackers. Like, these guys know security, but for whatever reason, they hubris, neglect. I don't know. I mean, the report is damning, but it doesn't really get into, like, the real nitty gritty about why they think this happened. They just sort of say it's woefully lax, and they were just sort of focused on building these cyber weapons, but they didn't really think about, like, how they could be, you know, how they could fall into the wrong hands. The fact that these guys, you know, the best of the best allegedly within the government were doing this, and no one sort of stopped to say, hey, we should better protect these things, because if they get out, it's going to be really bad, and we don't want them being used against us, is really unsettling. And I can't for the life of me sort of put my finger on why that was, like, whether it was just neglect or hubris or just sort of fundamental, like, government dysfunction. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
It's for another reference, because I know you love your movie references.
Yes. Yes.
I think this is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh. That is. It's.
I don't know where you're going.
We have top men working on it right now. Who? Yeah. Top men.
Yeah. And we should note that, you know, there may be information in here that is pertinent to sort of the root causes. A lot of it has been redacted. This report is it is damning. It is as damning and critical of government failures and dysfunction as any report I can remember reading. There was the OPM breach many years ago that we covered extensively on Search Security prior to your arrival, of course, Alex. And there was a report about that, the dysfunction and the lack of proper, just real basic security steps within the OPM and other government agencies. There have been other reports like this. But for the CIA's own sort of task force on this to just sort of casually say, yeah, they didn't even know about this until it showed up on WikiLeaks a year later, is... Man, I'm surprised that part didn't get redacted, honestly. I'm surprised they went with that. I mean, clearly this task force and the agency itself wanted to send a message and wanted to be blunt about this, and they did, and good for them. Yeah. What do you think is in the redacted parts, though? If I may ask you to put on your conspiracy cap, because I mean there's huge chunks of blacked out sections here, and I know that they said that there were, you know, there was one portion in particular that I think is in your story about them, the agency sort of failing to act on the warning signs that a person or persons within the CIA or maybe outside of the CIA could gain access to this stuff, and it, you know, posing an unacceptable risk to national security. I wonder what those warning signs are, but I don't know. I mean, there's other parts of this report that are redacted. You're just like, what? I wonder what they're saying here.
Yeah. So I look at some parts of this, and I'm looking at the report right now just for reference. And some of it's a little weird. Like, there's the sentence where no one was accountable, and the mission system in question, like, redacted others, yeah, with, yep, many written over it. What could possibly be there is what I want to know.
Yeah.
But my best guess is that it's probably personal information,
mm-hmm,
and stuff that is already publicly available on WikiLeaks that they have a responsibility to loosely safeguard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my guess is 80 to 90% of it is that. I don't know what the last 10% is, but my guess is most of it's probably not as exciting as we hope it is.
You may be right, and it may just be sort of basic, like we know that there are other environments or staging servers or organizations within the government, not just CCI, but, you know, NSA, FBI, et cetera, you know, military intelligence, whatever, that have similar setups like this, and we don't want to expose them. I do wonder about those warning signs. I do wonder about other things. I mean, the warning signs could be as simple as, hey, we were idiots because we knew we know we've had insider threats before. We know what Edward Snowden did. I don't know why they wouldn't just say, hey, remember Edward Snowden, dummies, because everybody knows about that and the data is out there. But we'll see. I mean, and again, I just want to stress before we wrap up, this report is from 2017 and it's just seeing the light of day now. I am curious, as you know, you noted in your story, like what has been done to correct any of what is outlined in this report. And, you know, Senator Ron Wyden is the one who posted this redacted copy of the report, which kicked off this whole, it was given to the Washington Post that first reported it. Then it was made public. You know, he has questions about what was being done. I mean, it was his letter at the top of the report sort of demanding like, hey, what happened here? What's going on? I don't know. I don't know if much of anything has been done. I hope some plans or some changes have been implemented since 2017 to prevent something like this from happening again. Obviously, mm-hmm. we haven't seen anything posted to WikiLeaks, but I don't know. I don't know how confident you are in that. After I feel like your confidence is seriously shaken.
It's I'm a little depressed, Rob. Just about this whole story.
Yeah. There's a lot going on here. Well, there's going to be more to cover with Vault 7 in the future. Like I said, there is still likely to be a retrial for the alleged leaker of these tools. These tools are still out there. They're still used occasionally in various hacking operations by cyber criminals, nation state threat actors. And who knows? I mean, it's entirely possible that more data was taken and WikiLeaks only published Vault 7. They did publish it a pretty comprehensive dump here, but there could be more information out there. Could have been more data given to other organizations. I'll close by saying the CIA is really lucky that this was not, as they stated in the report, as you noted in your first quote from the report, that it was not some nation state operation, that it was not China or Russia that stole this stuff and used it against us. That it was just an insider threat who decided to give it to WikiLeaks to, you know, for whatever. And people have speculated that it was to call attention to, you know, all the vulnerability hoarding and all the stuff that they were doing behind the scenes. Some people speculated he was just a disgruntled employee, wanted to get back at the CIA. Who knows? But I'm sure we'll get more information as this goes along, and we'll see.
Alex,
that's your first foray into Vault 7 and mm-hmm. stories of the like. Sorry for depressing you as much, but yeah, it's a learning experience. Well, thank you for covering the story and for joining me on this podcast, Alex. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob, and thanks for being the best editor a guy could ask for.
Oh, yeah, you're kissing up to me now, but I'll take it. And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.